If you could do me a kind favor and yourself, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Because now that we've walked through the season and learned about rest, and we will be revisiting that. It's so important, so huge. And if you missed any of those messages, go online. It's free. It's on the podcast with Apple. It's on the website. It's on for download, MP3 download. Everything is free now. You have to line up for tapes in the library, in the lobby. Just go online and get stuff free. Amen. Hallelujah. Freely we receive, freely we give. I want to talk about, I did a message a long time ago called Show Me a Sign / Obedience is Better. And a lot of you were not here for that. Most of you weren't. And I want to kind of revisit Show Me a Sign. And I want to talk about the deficit or the hole in the church and the move of God and the body of Christ, because people need constantly in the church a sign. They're always looking for a word, a special something. It's like almost the word of God is being replaced by moments, by things, by events. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, so let me help you. You could come to a church that may regularly have a small amount of people, but tell them that a certain singer is coming, or a certain healing prophet, or a certain prophet, and the house is full, like they come in to see Michael Jackson. And then as soon as that person is gone, everything goes right back to normal. So people have found themselves in a place as believers, because usually unbelievers don't come running out for that. That's Christian entertainment. You don't usually, if you go to those events, I remember I was at a Benny Hinn event and I was working with the ushers. And I got to know who the pastors were and the church members, even though the place was big, because, you know, they always stood up and raised their hand and want to be recognized. So you know who they are. And when the healing line started, the pastors and the church members was knocking people out of wheelchairs to get up there first. No, it's these are facts. The people who came there to represent their church, the ushers or whatever, were using their now hookup to make sure their people got in front of the line. And I sat there looking at it, and I was embarrassed. And this was years ago. This was decades ago. But I was embarrassed as a Christian. Like I said, Christians get on my nerves. I don't really like Christians. Christians just irk me. They do. They just do. I'm a self racist, I guess, whatever, classist or whatever you want to call me, right? They just get on my nerves, because the things we do in the name of faith shows how little faith we have. So these people are running to jump on the line because Benny Hinn is there. The Christians. And the Christian leaders. And I'm like, so where is your Jesus and your relationship when Benny Hinn ain't around? He only come once a year. So for 364 days, it's just you just lingering? You know, I'm going to talk about us a little bit today. Just a little bit. So you get the church members who can't stand unless the man of God, woman of God, tells them they can stand. Speak to me. Say something. And it's amazing. People come and I give them a word directly for their life. And they're like, wow, there's no way you can know that. Oh, glory to God. All right, it must be from God. So then I become the crackerjack box. Now you want to come every week and you'll want a word every week. Not y'all, because usually those don't stay long. Because once they realize after the next 2 or 3 weeks that ain't going to keep happening, they are going to look for the next church to see if they could get another surprise somewhere else. Everybody wants a word. Everybody wants a sign. Everybody needs God to reaffirm who he says he is again and again and again. Matthew chapter 16. Starting at verse 1. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but cannot interpret the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but none will be given to them except the sign of Jonas." Then Jesus walked away. I loved it. He dissed them and then he walked. So here's the thing. They came to Jesus saying, "Prove to me by a sign from heaven, do something magical." And Jesus said, "It's funny. You can look at the weather, and you can make a decision of what's going to happen based on how it looks. But you can't just look at the signs of the time, just what's going on in your own life, and determine what's about to happen based on what's going on around you." No, you see, this gets deep. So Jesus took an issue with them asking him to show them something. And he said, the signs around you are verification about what's happening and what's going to happen in your life. Let me give you an example. You got a credit card. Every time you want something, even though you can't afford it, you still go and you put on that card because we're going to be able to pay it off. Even though you barely can pay it off. I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know anybody's business. So if this hits you directly, this could be a sign. So, all of a sudden, your debt is higher than your ability to pay. I don't need a word from the Lord to tell you what's going to happen there. You're going to get into too much debt and you're going to wind up in collections. And wait, I think I'm getting something from the Lord. Yes. And then credit agencies going to call you for their money. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Yes. Yes. And they're going to harass you. And then your credit score. Ooh, I see the credit score coming down. Whoo, glory to God. I see your score dropping. And wait a minute. I'm getting something else. And I see them calling you to make a deal. To pay off your credit. See, and I think when they call, I sense they're going to say, "Well, if you could pay this much right now, we'll settle." This is leadings. He said, look at what you're doing. Look at where you're sowing. Look at how you're positioning yourself. And then say to yourself, "I'm going to reap based on what I put out." I'm just so worried. I'm just so, everything always go wrong for me. You know how things are. You know, I'm just stressed out. Okay, I'm getting another leading. I see all these words you're speaking over yourself coming to pass. I see you becoming more stressed out. Matter of fact, I see depression even getting a hold on you. I see suicidal thoughts and all kind of things beginning to happen. You might begin to numb yourself with drugs. I think I see the something with the letter D. It may be drugs. Maybe it be depression. I said it. Right? See? You understand what I'm saying? Do you really need to ask God to show you that life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you speak to the mouth and say, be thou removed. He said it in his word. He said, if you keep speaking evil and negative on yourself, you're going to reap it. It's right there. It's right there. If you think I'm talking about you directly, then I am. Not intentionally, but if it's hitting you, good. Take it. It's all yours. Take it home. My point is this. God has given us the power to bind serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And if you don't, and they're whipping on you, I can prophesy that too. I don't even have to ask Jesus. He already said it. It's in his word. He said, wicked and adulterous people seek after a sign. Here's what he's saying in a nutshell. You ready? Who are wicked and adulterous people? Wouldn't you think by his statement this would be people that are not the people of God? I'm not saying people that are people of God that still stumble. He said a wicked and adulterous generation. He's talking about a people that are not a people of God. People that only look for things. People who that believe God, some of us here, believe God is good when good things are going our way the way we thought they should. Then when it's not, you do what John did with the disciples. Are you the one or should we look for another? So Jesus is Lord without question when things are going your way. What he was saying is a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Listen to this now, because you need to catch the fullness of the statement here. And then he turned and he walked away. He said, none will be given to them but that of the prophet Jonas. And then he walked away. So I want to go all the way into that. But let me just lay out a framework. How many of us in here know what happened to the prophet Jonah? Just two people? Three people? Jonah, the whale, Jonah, the swallow, the whale, you know, Jonah, the story, right? We know about Jonah, yeah, and the whale. So let me tell you, so in case you don't know, and we'll get into the details of it, Jonah wound up swallowed by a whale until he repented, then he got spit out at the shores of his destiny. So as long as he was in rebellion, he was near death. The moment he truly repented, he got spit out on the shores of where he was called to be in the first place. We're going to go through this all. I'm going to take it a step at a time. So he said, people that seek a sign going to find themselves locked up somewhere away from their destiny. Ooh, I didn't get nothing. Because church people have been taught to seek signs. We don't seek the Lord. We don't seek to know him and to know his ways. I would use parents, but I didn't have a parent in my life like that, so except for my godfather. But some of us have. How many, good or bad, know your parents? Know what they would do, what they would say, how they would respond. Before you ask a question, you already know what it's going to be. You may have to try to work them into your point of view, but you already know what the outcome is going to be when you have to. I see you stick your hand up because daddy's sitting right there, but I got you. I saw the eye contact. I got it. Okay? So, but we know. Now, why do we know that? We know our parent relationship, know our parents. Keep going. We're around them all the time. Speak up. She's good. You're going to say, come on. You know from previous situations. You got the pastor to refer to. Keep going. Any more? I don't think this is a DNA thing. It could be, but I'm not ruling that out. But I don't think you take a microscope and look at your parents' DNA to figure out what they're going to say and do. I think that's a little, it is in their DNA, but you understand what I'm saying? We don't judge by that. That's what I'm looking for. So what are we saying then? By their what? By their words. Who said it? By their words. You know them by the words they spoke. You know, it's the way they behave. No, they said enough stuff to you over time and throughout life that you know what the answer is. It's not just a feeling. Because even you say, yes, that look they get. But the look wouldn't have meant anything if words didn't follow the look. When they looked at you like this and said, and first time they did that, you don't know what that meant as a kid. They said, that's a stupid question. Now you know what that look mean. Next time you give me that look, I know what that look mean. You give me a call me stupid. I already know. Right? It's the words. The words you associate with the actions. Telling a little child, don't touch that, that's hot, means nothing to the child till they touch it. Then they, oh, hot. We good, right? Now, the words define your expectation. Are you learning something here? Okay, so he's saying you're looking for a sign. But if you had a relationship and you and God had conversation, there would be a communication between you that you know what his answer is without needing a sign. Fair enough? If there's a real relationship, so here's what he's saying. You outsiders, you wicked and adulterous people, you don't have a relationship with me. So of course you ask for a sign. But those who know me should not need one. I don't need to ask God, you know, I know it's wrong. But if you could find it in your heart, I just want to go on an adultery spree. Is that okay? Just for a week. You'll look at me like I'm stupid, like you would actually ask God that. But some of the stuff you'll ask God is just as stupid. Now you with me? Like when you're freaking out about God supplying your needs according to his riches and glory when his word says he does. See, because everybody here guilty of that one. You need God if this is really you. Show me. Have somebody come up to me. And people come to me all the time. I know he was the one. Why? Because I asked God, you know, the man that's for me, let him come up to me with a flower or something. You do know the devil heard that, right?
Right.
You do know the devil heard that, right? And the devil said, oh, they asked for a sign. That puts them in a different category. I can treat them like they want a mine. I tell you to get deep. A lot of the crap you pray that don't go along with the word, the devil hears, you know. And according to the scripture, he appears as an angel of light. I know you always want to see the devil, he can always come out. No. No, he appears in the form of goodness. I've heard pastors say it, and I've seen it. You know, he said a lot of times in the church, he said the first place the devil lands when he lands in the church is in the choir. And I thought about that. I thought he was just being funny, but then I thought about it. Satan led worship. Of course he would go where he's familiar. You want to see where a lot of gossip and mess and stuff is going on? Go to the choir. Everybody's in everybody's business. Everybody's doing everybody. It's crazy. So here's my point. We don't seek signs. We get to know him through conversation and relationships and disappointments at times. Hear me close. There's two answers to prayer that I know about. There may be more, but I know two. I've grown to know two. Who want to guess what they are? Yes and no. Those are both answers to prayer. God will say no. God, I want this. No. No. God, I want to be here. No. But I really, if you just give, all right, well, if you want to go ahead down that road, you have a free will. I'm not going to stop you. But like Balaam and his donkey, that road could be a place that brings you some discomfort. There's also, are you listening to me? The yes or no answer in timing. God's no today will be yes when you're ready. So God called you to this destiny and get this big, beautiful dream in front of you. And you think because God called you to it, you can now dictate the time it's supposed to manifest. But I don't know why it's taking so long. No, the question is, you don't know why it's taking you so long. Because for some people, it's happening overnight. And boy, you get ticked off when somebody who just got saved prayed for the same thing you prayed for and they got it. And you've been believing God for it, so you think, for 5 years. You've been believing, so you think. You think you're believing because you did the church religious thing by confessing it. But you don't believe until you and God are in the same place at the same time speaking the same thing. I'm explaining that a little bit. The time between the spoken word and the manifested word, are you listening? Are you listening? The difference between that is not God decided it should take you 10 years or this person 5 years. It's how long it takes for me to be in total agreement with God. When you look at Abraham's walk, Abraham kept saying for years, and God, see, God told Abraham he'd have a baby, but God made him wait all these years. No, he didn't. Abraham kept saying for close to 20-something years, it can't happen. My wife is old. I'm old. My wife is fertile. But what we need to have a baby at this age for? It took him forever to say what God was saying. You understand what I'm saying? It took him for, no, it wasn't God's divine plan to stretch it out that long and give him an Ishmael and make him jump ahead of God and try to promote it on his own way by getting his wife's servant pregnant and creating the Muslim nation that came out of that. That's a whole different story, but yes, that's the way it went. Ishmael was the father of the Muslim nation. Isaac is the father of the Jewish nation. So the two brothers that hate each other and fight to this day and cause all kind of death and all the kind of stuff we hear about, and if they are part of 9/11 or not, I'm not getting into that. My point is this. That was Abraham's impatience. And we're still paying for it to this day. That was him trying to circumvent surrendering to God and trying to move God's hand in his direction. Ooh, I'm not getting a lot of nothing today. Listen, if I'm wrong, raise a hand. Okay, then. So that means I can keep going. Thank you very much. So the point is, God is building relationships with us. God don't want a religious relationship that Sunday and pastor said and I read in a book. All of those, you listen to me close. All of those things are foundations. They start you. But you go from what the Bible says, from milk to meat. Eventually you should grow to the place that you have a right now relationship with God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You get to that place where he calls your name and you say, here I am. And you hear him. You don't have to hear him through a prophet or through the pastor or through the bishop or through the sub-bishop or through the archangel or through anybody else. He can speak to you and you say, yeah, I know what my daddy would say about that because I know how my daddy thinks. I know how my daddy feels about that. There's certain things. Have you ever gone to do something and you just had this gut check? You have? Have you ever fought against that gut check and done it anyway? See? And it usually didn't go your way, right? And then you say, something told me. Something told me not to do that. And something, nothing. The Spirit of God was speaking to you as his child. You just weren't sensitive enough to stop and hear it and go, okay, as hard as I want to do this, the flesh in me wants to do this, there's a check in me that says, I can't do this. Case in point, I'm telling myself. Simple things, but simple things. You know the truth, will make you free. I love to tell them myself, so this way you'll know I'm not just picking on you. Some of y'all like this part. I talk about yourself. But when I talk about myself, it's on you. So the guys came here a couple of weeks ago, and they worked on the building, and they did the work. And the guy asked me, can he plug his charger and his battery into the bathroom? So I said, yeah, sure. He plugged his charger in. At the end of the work, they packed all up, and they left. And there stood his charger and his battery. I was like, well, he don't come back and get it. I'm keeping that. That's the same one I use. I ain't steal it. He left it here. Right? See, come on. We do these things. And God said, really? So you're not even going to call him and tell him come get his stuff? Really? So I tried to reason with God, but he left it here. He didn't call. It's been here for a week. God said, so you really going to jeopardize our flow for something that costs $150 that you can throw away if you needed to? Do you really need the battery in the charger at all? No, I got two of them. All right, call the guy tomorrow. This was yesterday, by the way. Call the guy tomorrow and give him his doggone battery in his back. Now, if he don't come for it, then that's different. But you call him and tell him it's here. I said, you want me to share this tomorrow too, don't you? He said, I absolutely do. You know his voice. Well, I just need to hear God better. Okay, let me tell you how you hear God better. Start obeying what you're hearing right now. You want to hear him better? Be faithful with what you got now. You want to hear him clearer? Be honest with what he's saying to you today. If amen don't work, you can say ouch. You understand what I'm saying? These are the truths that make you free. We've become so churchy. We've become so religious that God is just a byword. This is just something we say. Oh, I'm a Christian. Glory to God. Ain't nothing about you changing. Nobody. If you have to say it, you're not it. The world will know you. People will walk up to you and sense you. If I got a painted on my forehead, it ain't real. I mean, race could be a different thing. I have to tell people all the time I'm not Dominican and stuff, but they know I'm not white. My point is, what you are, people recognize. Who you are, people know. And if they didn't know I was Spanish when they first walked up to me after talking to them for 5 minutes, they know what I am. How come people can work with you and know you come to work with you, go home from work with you every day for weeks and months and whatever, and work in your house and whatever case may be, and they still don't know who you are and what you are? Other than the fact that you say you love Jesus and you come in and you have your gospel music playing, you know, why gospel music playing, why you and your spouse is arguing. Nah, let me just move on here. I meddled a little bit, I know. I meddled a little bit. Just a little bit. It's so funny because I fussed at my wife about something a couple of days ago. Nothing big. We don't argue. But something she did, she was doing it a bit and it was beginning to really irk me. And I finally just, you know, in my alpha male type of way put my foot down. Need to let it be known. You crossed the line here, you need to check yourself, right? Check yourself. I ain't going to say it too many more times. Like, so what am I going to do if she do it again? Well, I'm going to beat her? Like, what am I going to do? But I'm still trying to, you know, throw the bluff out there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what the punishment would be. But still, you know, I got to, you know, come on. I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? I got to let her know. You playing me. I'm going to have this conversation too many more times. And I huffed off and went over into my man cave. Felt kind of satisfied with myself. Yeah, I told her. She know I ain't playing. And God says, so what you going to do if she do it again? Now, I guess, well, I don't know. We just shut out, stop talking to her. God said, that's not walking in love. I said, see, you're going to stop picking that stuff. Okay. Now I have these kind of conversations with God, okay. And after thinking about it, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, so then your bluff was empty then, wasn't it? Right. You ain't leaving her. Nah, I ain't trying to start all that over. Okay. So what you going to do? And I got up, and I came back over to where she was and said, you know you're my boo no matter what you do. You know that, right? I just wish you wouldn't do that. I came back and negotiated. I threw a little sweetness on top of it. Because what else was the other thing going to do? But I had to hear God. And I had to hear God well enough to say that you don't try to intimidate people into doing what you want them to do. You did that before you knew me. Oh, you don't want to talk right now. See, when you start to have these real conversations, I tell you, I tell them myself, but I put it out there. So what did that bluff mean? It meant absolutely nothing. I was trying to use the enemy's tactics to get what I wanted. So some people like to hold divorce over their spouse's heads as a punishment. Well, people don't want to have this conversation now. See, it's getting all tight up in here right now. That's not the way God would do it. If you're getting a divorce, just get one. Stop talking. And no, I'm not picking on you particularly. It's more you're not the only one, okay? Because I know you're looking right. I feel in my spirit. No, boy, if I got a dollar for every time I heard these threats, I wouldn't even need to stand up here. I'd be wealthy somewhere. I don't need to stand up here anyway, but my point is, you get it. I'd just be really rich. Here's the thing. There's a God way to do everything. And what he's saying to them is seeking a sign or looking for spiritual validation every time things don't seem to be going your way is not a God way to do things. I said last week and the week before, and I say it again, our focus and what keeps us on path with God is us. You're listening to me? You're listening to me? It's always being focused on what God said, no matter what the circumstance looks like at the moment. Whatever God spoke to you about your destiny, that should be it. Yes, things will come to challenge it. Yes, the enemy will come to try to make you doubt it. Yes, things will come to try to make you walk away from what God has called you to be. But if you can say, no matter what it looks like around me, I'm on rest, and what God has spoken over me, it'll manifest. Now, when God speaks it, God immediately begins construction. And sometimes in construction, there's deconstruction before there's construction. Sometime, you guys have experienced it. Anybody who's worked in the house, Sister Linda Ray used to do it. You're gonna come and do some work. You're going to mess up some stuff first. You're going to knock walls down and dig holes in floors and break up concrete and have bunches of containers outside filled with debris and garbage that you got to get out before you can begin to do what you want to do. Church, there's been a lot of construction in your life. The enemy has filled your head through the media, through everything else, through fashion, through style, through conversation, through wrong parents, through wrong church leaders, with a whole bunch of junk that God is saying, before I can build you the way I want to build you, I need to first do some demolition. I need to remove some things that you thought were supporting beams that really are not. And they're just blocking up the way and they need to go. I need to change your foundation because what you're sitting on is sinking sand, and in a storm, you're not going to last. I need to take away some things that you put a lot of trust and foundation in over these past 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years you've been living, and I have to rearrange your whole blueprint. You saying, God, I want a huge indoor pool. And he's like, yeah, well, we got to build some things out because what you have ain't not room for an indoor pool. Remember how your kitchen was? Imagine somebody coming to you saying, in the name of Jesus, God told me to give you all these cabinets and marble counters and stuff the way things were. You would have just looked at that stuff. You didn't even have no place to put it. You follow what I'm saying? It's the process that God says, I need you now to unlearn, deconstruct, refocus, because what I want to do, the life you have doesn't contain the anointing, are you listening? Or the ability to carry. Why am I here? Because we keep running around looking for God to confirm through so-called prophets and words and everything else who we are called to be without first going to the Father and saying, show me the blueprint. What am I supposed to be and what have I become? Remember a few weeks ago, you lost in the mall. What's the first thing you do? You look for the map. And when you find the map, what's the first thing you look for? You are here. You need to know where you are to know where you're going, and so you can see how far you come. You don't just go look at a big map that serves you no purpose if you don't know where you are. So here we are. I'm asking for, on behalf of the Lord, more of a relationship and less spirituality. Sometimes God does speak. But God should not have to keep speaking to you what he's already spoken. God shouldn't have to keep giving you a sign of something he's already confirmed to you. And every time you have a bad day, you need the sign all over again. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell for doing that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that years will go by and you will still be exactly where you are today. Who is quiet? Because some of you are thinking about where you are today and how long you've been praying that prayer. Look at somebody and say, it's time to grow up. You know? It's time to grow up. Are we real men and women of God in this house? Are we real men and women of God in this house? Then we need to start acting like that. We need to start acting like that. I don't need a sign or prophetic word from God about me being healed. His word says I am. I need to line up with that. And I need to allow him to dispel everything in me that goes against that. Because sometimes it is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We don't live on signs. We don't live on prophetic words. We don't live on that. We get those. I'm not saying they're wrong. Are you listening to me? We get a prophetic word. We might get a sign. And that's the motivators to go forward. But we don't live for those. Let me ask you a question. This is a good place to bring it home for today. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be blessed or have a miracle? Why? I can, even as though you're saying it low, I can hear every word you're saying. You're absolutely right. A blessing is a continual manifestation of who God is in your life. A miracle is an event. And if you walk in his blessings, you don't need a miracle. You never heard me say, oh, God did a miracle. Some of you have been around me for a decade. You never heard me say it. I walk in his blessing. I don't need a miracle. Miracles, when you got so far off, you got to get God to bring you back sometime. And somebody said this a long time ago, and I thought it was phenomenal when he said it. He said, if you think about it, a miracle is really just a sped up blessing. I said, yes, that's good. That's a good point. He just made it happen faster. But it's still his blessing. I surrender to you, or submit to you today, something I've said years ago, and I'll continue to say it. I was having a conversation with this bishop, and he was talking about the way I hear from God and the revelations I get and how deep he felt they were. Now, how many of you have gone from here to other places and shared what your first was JCMI 101, and people were like, oh my God, you're so deep, right? I'm like, our kids upstairs know that. So he was just like, just really just awed out by how deep he thought the revelations I had was. And I'm going, okay. So then he began to tell me why I had these revelations. He didn't ask me. He started to tell me. You turn your plate down all the time. You was fasting. You must be a fasting, praying man. You spend hours on your faith before the Lord. And see, listen, I'm like, okay, that sounds good. And God said, no, don't let that lie sit in the air. I'm like, brother, I ain't fasting the past couple of years. I could use a couple of fasts, actually. And no, I don't do all that much praying that you saying that I do. So I said, I wish I could, you know, that sound good, it sound real churchy, and I want to go with it, but God had me tell you that, no, that's not the case. And I understood after I said that to him why God wanted me to say that. Because if I took the credit that way, then it would be works, and it would be me glorying in what God did for me, and then he would have been off on, so if he could fast and pray more and do a little more what he thought I was doing, that he would be more spiritual and hear deeper from God. And I said, no, brother, I don't fast like that. I said, the last time I fasted, it was a couple of years ago, and I think it was for about 45 minutes. You're laughing at me, but it's a fact. I woke up that morning and said, Lord, I'm going to fast so I can hear from you. And I started my fast. And I got down on my knees and started praying. And 20 minutes into the prayer, God answered me. And I said, okay, yeah, that can't be the answer yet because I ain't got no stomach cramps yet. We got to let this go on a little bit. You know, I at least got to feel a couple of days so I'm feeling some kind of hurt, like I'm accomplishing something here. And God said, well, you can stay down there as long as you want. I ain't saying nothing else to you. You can stay down there if you want. So you can tell people how you fast to get an answer. I told you you're done. You smell the food in the kitchen. You might as well go out there and get some. So I got 1-8. I had my answer. So God taught me then. this, all this stuff that man is creating to make himself feel like he's so accomplished, when it's the grace of God that you have everything you have in the first place. But if you convince yourself that you got to do all these works to hear from God, then according to your faith, be it unto you. So when I said to him, brother, I don't fast like that. I wish I could take that credit, but I don't. And he stopped. And what he said next, it wasn't of his spirit. I mean, it wasn't of his flesh. It was his own spirit. He said, it's because you live a fasted life. And I said, explain that. Because my spirit bore witness. And he said, now this is him, the one who was just a minute ago complimenting me on what a good, godly, fasting man I was. He said, most of us wait till our pond gets dirty. He said, like, if we're at the bottom of the pond, we wait till our pond gets dirty, and then we pray and fast for God to clear the pond so we can see him. You keep your pond clean. Okay. I didn't think my pond was all that clean, but okay, I'll take that. Because I knew the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. Live a fasted life. Don't. That's what you'll hear me say. Every couple of months, I'll pull in for a checkup. God, where am I? How we doing? Open up the engine. You know, yeah, the motor's still running, but let's check now. Do we need to change the oil? Let's do pit stops. Because I want to make sure, I don't want to get to the place that everything is falling off in the air. You can see the air through the tires and everything is falling off the side of the car. Before I call on God, I got a Flintstone mobile and I got to run with my feet on it. Listen, let me come to you regularly so that I can know I'm on the path. Immature Christians wait till the bottom falls out before they seek God. Now you need a sign. That's a wicked and adulterous generation. A wicked and adulterous generation is a relationship that is separated from God. If you look it up in the original language, it says a nation or a people separated from God. These are people who don't have the voice of God. They don't even know the voice of God. They always looking for somebody to confirm something with supernatural signs and wonders because they don't take the time to hear. And what they do hear, they don't obey because it don't line up with their ideologies. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about heathens. I'm talking about us who call ourselves believers who refuse to enter into a closer relationship than the one we have on a regular basis. So here's where I'm going to wrap this up. Here's what I submit to you today. We had the conversation. We talked about where are you. Everybody came back and said their lives were different because of that. They saw, got a better picture of where they were, where they're going. Now we talked about rest. We got that. Now we're moving forward from that. And here's the thing. A relationship matures. You don't get saved and you felt tingles and they laid hands and you fell out on the floor and you shook and you trembled and now you got a relationship with God. Really? That's it? So goosebumps and trembling and shaking. Oh, and I just felt so well. Okay, yeah, but when you get back home, you got to deal with life again. So what, you going to hold out to Sunday and then come crawling in here like a spiritual crackhead to get a new fix? Hit me off, Pastor. Come hit me off. Come on. Listen. It's about a growing, maturing relationship. Your relationship with God should be maturing. It should be growing. It should be close. It blesses me when people stand here and say, you know, when I was speaking and the Lord said this to me and I was going to do this and the Lord said, don't do that. When I met you, you didn't even know how to say the Lord said this to me. I'm excited about that. But you can't stop there. We're getting a word here and a sporadic word there and a direction here while you hold on to your same idiocy for the rest of your life. You should be growing. You should be maturing. Your heart should become more tender. You know what I'm saying? More tender. You know what I'm saying? More sensitive to other people than yourself. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be so easily offended. You should be growing. Your skin should be getting thicker. But your heart should still be soft or even softening. You should be becoming more compassionate, more Christ-like. Yeah. I don't mean go out there and start doing a bunch of things to show me that you're Christ-like. People out in the corner standing there with the megaphone and giving out tracts. Or the people come to us all the time about all the other food pantries in the neighborhood. And they say, they're so mean to us. They treat us like this. We love coming here because you love us and you treat us so nice. Well, I have a rule. If you've ever been here for food pantry, what do I say? The first thing I say? Treat those people with respect. Don't you dare raise your voice at them. Don't you talk to them harshly. I don't care if they get out of line. If they do, you come get me. Once they see me, they say, hey, Poppy, no, you know, no. Okay, dude, you know better than that. We had this line a couple weeks ago, and there was a brother on the line. He was just yelling and screaming and cussing, and people were, like, scared to stand around him. And they were, like, moving around, and they came and got me, and they said, you know, he's like, yelling and cussing at people. So I came out, okay, people don't get on my line and act like that. And when I walked out, soon as I seen him, I knew who he was. He had them demons. He was off his meds. He usually come here every week. He quiet, don't say nothing to nobody. But this day, they were acting out in full force. And he was yelling and cussing. I walked right up to him. I said, you okay? And his eyes went from bulging to relax. He said, yeah, Pastor, I'm okay. You need to take your meds? I don't have any more. I said, you all right, though? He said, I'm all right. And I put my hand on without him knowing. I said, in the name of Jesus, demons, come out and put on a show for everybody to see. I just put my hand on him, pat him, said, okay, you good? Everything good? And while I did, I just said a prayer over him. Nobody knew but him, me, and God. And walked away. It's not showtime. I'm going to cast this demon out. Watch me work. All this religious bullcrap. No, it's true, though. It's true. Do it in secret. Let God bless you in the open. You don't have to do it all out for everybody to see and put the man all on the spot. Did it? By the time he came inside, he was totally calm. I don't know what he did after he left. I just took care of him right there. I did what I was led to do. You mature. You grow up. You treat the people right. This Saturday, somebody came to me, two people, and said to me, the other pantry lines are better because of you guys. Amen. I said, what? I don't understand. He said, because the way we've been forced to get along with each other here and work together, now when we go to the other lines, it was mostly the same people, so now we act different. So we're not jumping each other and fighting and over, you know, who got this and who didn't. So now they've taken that to the other places. Amen. So the other people have acknowledged what's happening here. And they're saying to them, is Pastor Brown over here, it's the way we act over there. I didn't even see that one coming. But it's just because I love those people. I love on them. But I've learned to be gentler. I've learned to be calmer. You know, I've learned. Mike said, amen. I didn't like the way you did that. You. I love you, man. It's just all good. I've learned that because I know the kingdom of God is like this. This is me doing my best to represent his kingdom. That means I must decrease. He must increase. I can't be soft-skinned, but I need to be soft-hearted. That's right. Most of us harden our heart when we get hurt. God said, don't harden your heart. Just let things roll off better. But let your position. My wife, if she was here, she would have given me the same. She would have done the same thing. She would have said, yes, Jesus. Amen. God was very alpha male. I don't need that. My identity is not in that anymore. I want Christ to be the alpha. I'll just take some second seat up in there somewhere, wherever that fits. I like it. I feel better. My life's better. I don't need a sign. He's speaking to me all the time because I'm available to obey. And when God knows that you obey whatever he says, he will speak louder and louder. And the more he knows you obey, the more often he'll speak. And he'll give you things to do. Some of them challenging, some of them exciting. But he'll give you things to do. And usually never out of your frame of comfort. If he said, I'm afraid if I surrender to God, he'll send me to a foreign country. I remember I used to think that. God used to say, right. God said to me one time, if I wanted you in a foreign country would be in your DNA, it would be in you, and you wouldn't be able to fight it. You'd be trying to get on the plane and go to a foreign country without me telling you. He said, if I built you that way, you would be doing that. Who you are is already in you. What you're called to be is already in you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit them to him, and he will bring them to pass. Father, we thank you today for your word and for your spirit. We thank you for the insights that you continue to give us to help us to be stronger children, representatives of your kingdom. Help us be better. Help us be quieter before you. Help us hear you, Father, where we don't need to seek signs and words and people speaking over us and anything else. We can hear your voice. You said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. We learn not only to hear your voice, but to discern the enemy's voice and know when to respond and when not to. We're seeking to get better every day. And by your spirit, we are. We confess that we are. Your word said, if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask you, and you give to us generously, and you do not upbraid, you do not find fault. So today we accept that wisdom, that peace that passes all understanding, and from this day forward, we trust that you guide us in all of our decisions. We're not religious people. We are your children, reborn of the Spirit and set in the right place with you. And we thank you for it, Father. And we bless you for it. In Jesus' name. And those who agree said, amen. Amen. And amen. Good stuff.